You're coming up on Yom Kippur, and one of the things that we do during Yom Kippur is we read the book of Jonah. Now, I will confess that up until last night, I had no idea why we read the book of Jonah. The rabbis have been doing this for 2,000 years. We figured they must know what they're doing, so we followed right along. So last night, I get an email from Aleph Beta, and the email was, "So why do we read Jonah on Yom Kippur?" He then proceeded to explain it. And it is such a good explanation that I'm going to try and give it to you. I will not do nearly as good a job as he did, but we'll give it a shot. The whole thing is actually set up, oddly enough, in the first verse. And in the first verse it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying," Amittai is Jonah's father. The word Amittai means truth, emet. So his name means truth, and that's what is actually setting the entire book up. So then what you have is a cascading set of evil things. Down in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Of course, you all know the story. I'm not going to read the whole book to you. We'll do that on Tuesday night. On a side note, the thing about Jonah that everybody gets hooked on, no pun intended, is the great fish. The great fish is a bit player. What's going on is Jonah is running, obviously, away from God. And down in verse 7, Jonah gets on the ship, heads to Tarshish. And this great storm comes up. Everybody on the ship is praying to whatever gods they believe in, except Jonah. He's not praying to anybody. He goes down and goes to bed. The whole point of this is he doesn't care what happens. So when they draw lots and the lot falls on Jonah, the captain goes down and says, "What are you doing? Come on up, cry out to your God." And Jonah says, "I'm the problem." Now, the thing that Jonah does not do, he doesn't ask for forgiveness. Jonah doesn't know that there's a fish down there with his name on it. So Jonah just says, "I'm the problem, throw me overboard." Jonah is committing suicide. That's why he doesn't care what happens to the ship. He doesn't want to live. That's the whole point of the story. Jonah has decided he does not want to live. We'll get to why that is in just a minute. But that's the whole point of the story. So Jonah gets pitched overboard, and you actually have apparently two fish, because talking about the fish, the first time it mentions the fish, it's in the masculine. The second time it mentions the fish is now feminine. So unless you got a gender-bending fish, the rabbis come up with, must have been two fish. I'm not necessarily agreeing with them. I'm simply saying that's what they come up with. So anyway, Jonah gets gulped by the fish. And finally, Jonah calls out to God. At that point, when Jonah calls out to God, the fish does an about face, swims back to shore, and barfs him up on the shore. And at this point, Jonah says, "Okay, I'll go," and trudges off to Nineveh. Then he goes through the city, announces 40 days and you're going to be destroyed. And they repent. Jonah goes into a major sulk, goes out to the hill overlooking Nineveh, sits down, pouts, and says, "I want to die." So Jonah has been trying to die this entire book. And then we get this plant that grows up. Well, why did God set up a plant? Because Jonah has already built a sukkah. He has got shelter from the sun. Pick it up at chapter 4. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh, Lord, is not this what I said when I went up yet in my country? That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster.'" Where have you heard that before? It's in Exodus, isn't it? Where Moses is put in the cleft of the rock, but it's quoted wrong. The difference is the end of it. It says, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from evil. That's not what it says in Moses. This relenting from evil is not in the original. Anyway, Jonah wants to die, but God then has this gourd grow up, provide shade over it. And it is not necessary because he has a sukkah. He is out of the sun. But he's very happy for it. And then the next thing that happens is a worm shows up, kills it, and he goes into a even deeper funk. I'm in Jonah 4:5. Jonah went out of the city and sat in the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he could see what would become of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his evil. I know it's translated discomfort, but the Hebrew word is ra, evil. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked again that he might die, still trying to commit suicide, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do. Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? And the book stops at that point. So the question then becomes, how is that an answer? And what is going on? All right, remember I said you have cascading evils going through that. Start off with the evil of Nineveh. You start off with the evil storm. You start off with Jonah being discomforted in most of your translations, but the underlying word is evil. So what's going on? Well, what it turns out is Jonah is obsessed with truth. His father's name is Truth. And what truth requires is justice. So when there is an offense, justice, which is truth, requires recompense. And you need to know who Nineveh is. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. The Assyrians are eventually going to conquer Israel and scatter the 10 northern tribes. The Assyrians are the biggest regional power in the area, and they have been harassing Israel for a long time. So in Jonah's perspective, Syria is the focus of evil in the world. The beginning of the book says, God says, for the evil, I will destroy them. God agrees with Jonah that Nineveh is evil, and he's going to destroy them. So Jonah's attitude is, wait a minute, if you send me to warn them, there is some chance that they might repent. And if they do repent, then you're going to forgive them. Why are you sending me? I don't want to go. In fact, I don't want to live in a world where the evil of Nineveh goes unpunished. That's what he's saying. I don't want to live in a world where that kind of evil goes unpunished. Hence, the entire book is him trying to die because he doesn't want to live in that kind of a world where truth, which is justice, can be bent. So what God says at the end of the book is, all right, I caused this plant to just boop, come up. That's not natural. So then I set a worm on it, and the worm looked at that and said, you have no place to be here, so I'm going to kill you. Plant dies. That's truth. That's absolute justice. The plant has no business being there because God just sort of went, poof, and there it is, as opposed to a normal way of growing stuff. You start with a seed and you've got to do all the normal stuff that people who like to garden do. And this one just pops up like a parasol. And then it dies just as quickly. So Jonah is happy when it pops up, but he is miserable unto suicide when it dies. So what you have there are two unnatural things. A natural thing number one is this plant appearing, and then unnatural thing number two is this plant getting munched and dying instantly. Those are both unnatural. Those are both outside of the normal order of things. Those are both things that violate truth, if you will. And what God is saying to Jonah is, you were really happy when I violated truth to give you some shade. But then you turn around and you're really grumpy when I violate truth and take it away from you. Now look at Nineveh. You were suicidal because you didn't want Nineveh to have the opportunity to repent because you thought Nineveh deserved to be sanded off, which they did. I agree. They did deserve to be sanded off. And you didn't want to give them the opportunity to repent. I did want to give them that opportunity. And they took that opportunity. So what it says is, yes, strict justice is important. But on the other side of that, compassion is also important. So if you live in a world of strict justice, it is harsh, it is angry, it is bitter, because people do things that are deserving of justice. She said, so if Hillary Clinton repents, that means we got to forgive her? That's the story of Jonah. That's what's going on. So Jonah is looking at Nineveh and saying, God, if you send me, there is some small chance that they'll repent. They don't deserve it. And if you're going to make me do that, I would rather die than live in a world where Nineveh can be forgiven, where Hillary can be forgiven. Let me riff on that for a second. Virtually everybody in jail, oh, I'm sorry, and there isn't any way for a court to know whether they're sorry or not. So you did whatever you did. It's nice that you're sorry. 10 years. The job of a court is to establish truth and to dispense justice. The job of the king or the executive is to look at that person and say, you know, I believe that repentance is genuine. Or a couple of years later, yeah, that guy really repented. I pardon you. That's the job of the king. Jonah is looking at it from the position of a judge. These people deserve to die. God is agreeing, you bet. They do deserve to die. I agree with you. You go tell them they're about to die. When they repent, and the repentance is apparently genuine, everybody from the king on down puts on sackcloth, sits in ashes, and fasts. No food, no water for 3 days, to include the animals. And the king says, everybody stop whatever wicked stuff you're doing. Knock it off. God looks at that and says, well, yeah, look at that. They repented. And so God, as the king, is now in a position to exercise compassion. That's the whole point of the book of Jonah. That's why we read Jonah at this time of year. Because the book is about the balance between justice and compassion. And as we go before God on Yom Kippur, we are going to confess a whole lot of sins. Not all of them will apply to everybody, but all of them will apply to the congregation. And the whole point is we go before him and confess, and we are praying for compassion. That's why we read that book. Fire and brimstone is sort of a last resort when he finally decides it's over.
Shalom.